All right, you guys, let's open our Bibles today to Ephesians chapter 5. Didn't want to give a shout out to some dear friends of ours from Virginia that I think are maybe watching today, Marvin and Velma Barker, all the way from Southwest Virginia. So I hope they're watching today. All right, Ephesians 5 verse 14 says this, and this is an addition to your notes, verse 14. So you're going to want to follow along. There's a reason. I'll tell you in a minute why that was added. Verse 14 says this, "For the light makes everything visible. That is why it is said, 'Awake, O sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will give you light.' So be careful how you live. Don't live like fools, but like those who are wise. Make the most of every opportunity in these evil days. Don't act thoughtlessly, but understand what the Lord wants you to do. Don't be drunk with wine, because that will ruin your life. Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs among yourselves, and making music to the Lord from your hearts." Verse 20, "And give thanks for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And further, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ." And so, Lord, we thank you for that word. We thank you that it's a reminder to us, Lord, of the days that we live in, the challenges that we all face. And so, Lord, let us hear your words today. You know, I want you to do something as we pause. Ask the Lord, "Lord, show me what you want me to what you want me to see today through this word. Lord, or let me hear what you want me to hear, and let me see what I need to see in this word." Could you pray that? All right? And then, Lord, as I do that today, then let me apply what I've heard to my life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. All right. So we finished up the week of fasting and prayer this week. It's always challenging, isn't it? So we pray and fast and hear the Lord and do those spiritual things that promote growth and maturity. But it can be really tough as well. But I think it was Monday or Tuesday night that I went to bed, and I woke up, and this verse, verse 18 and 19 of Ephesians, just like dropped into my mind. You know, it was like, okay, so that's what I'm supposed to speak on. And it's actually a sermon, one of the very, very first sermons that I ever preached in my ministry, well over 35 years ago, and actually kept my notes from that. I don't think that I've ever preached it again until this weekend. So I went back into my notes and I looked at it, and it was like, you know, I needed some help in those days, you know, young guy, young minister, you know, but there were some good things in it. But what I discovered in the process was that in order to really understand verses 18 and 19, you got to go back a little bit and lay the groundwork for the part about being filled with the Holy Spirit. So it's really a two-parter. It's the part of where God, I believe, wants to really establish some things and build some things in our life so that we can be prepared to receive and to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And so if you have your notes, there's three sets of three. On the first section, we're going to add one. We're going to add verse 14. And that's what I referred to earlier, and there's a reason for that, and we'll see in a minute. So the first section will have four things, and these are challenges. The second one are three don'ts, and the third one are three buts. Okay? So let's just go over these real quick, and then we'll get right into the message this morning. Verse 14 says this, "Awake, sleeper, arise from the dead." How many of us need to hear that? How many of us have been kind of lulled to sleep a little bit by just life? You know, it's kind of mundane, maybe a little bit. Maybe you need a little bit of, you know, wake up and smell the coffee type thing, even spiritually. And you just kind of need to wake up. Or maybe there's some areas that need to be resurrected in your life, that need to come back to life. And that's what he's telling us as a church, but also individually as well, that there's some things that we can come back to. Then the second thing, it says this, be careful how you live. That's the second challenge that we have. Be careful how you live. Verse 15. Verse 16 then says, make the most of every opportunity in these evil days. So there again, another challenge that we have. Very, very simple, very clear. And then finally, and this is what we'll talk about next week, be filled with the Spirit. We're going to talk about that, how to be filled with the Spirit next week, but this lays the groundwork for that, all right? Here's, I guess, the bad news first. The bad news are the three don'ts. The don'ts are don't live like fools, and depending on what version you have, it'll say unwise. But how many of you know that people who are unwise are really fools? So you could, you know, the kind version says unwise, the more direct version says fools. And did you ever wonder why we have different versions of the Bible? Did anybody ever wonder that? Well, here's the reason, especially in the English language. The original language that the Bible was written in, Hebrew in the Old Testament and Greek in the New Testament. So if it were translated word for word into the English language, we wouldn't be able to understand it. It wouldn't make sense. So what translators have done, they have done their best to try to translate the original words and have it make sense in our English language. Okay? Well, here's the challenge with that. Not any one of them do it completely. That's why we have different versions, and that's why you'll hear me take from different versions, because some guys capture it better, some versions capture it better than others. And so, for the most part, all of them are really good. There's some that, personally, I don't like as well as others, but all of them fulfill a purpose, and that's to help us understand what the original writers were saying and what the Holy Spirit wants to say to us today. Does that make sense? Okay, so that's why it's important. All right, so here's the don'ts. Don't live like fools, don't act thoughtlessly, and then finally, don't be drunk with wine. And that's what we're going to talk about more than anything today. All right, here's the three buts. And the last one, the New Living Translation says instead, but the New King James Version says but. But here's the three buts. Number one is this, but like those who are wise. Verse 15, so don't live like fools or unwise, but live like you're wise. Second one, verse 17, but understand what the Lord wants you to do. And then finally, the last one is what we referred to earlier, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. And so as we lay the groundwork for that, let's dig in just a little bit and talk about what verse 15 says. Be careful. That's where we begin. Be careful. The idea of being careful, and we could even maybe arguably say, go back to verse 14 and say, let the light come on in our lives. Let's let life and our spiritual life be illuminated with God's light of His Word and of His presence. But He's telling us to be careful. And the idea here is that there's a habit that sometimes we can become a part of, where our minds and our actions are marked by not being as exact as they need to be, or being thoughtless and not taking conscientious care with what we're doing or with what we're up to. Think about it this way, you guys. If we're not intentional with our lives in these days that we're living in, and we just think, well, it's all going to just fall together. It'll all work out. You know, let's not worry about it. Here's the thing. We can't be lackadaisical or lazy in our attitude towards spiritual things. We have to make sure that we're not distracted and that we're not deceived by the enemy. The enemy wants to distract us. He wants to deceive us. And if we're not careful, like this is saying, be careful what you're up to. Be careful what you're doing. If we're not intentional with spiritual discernment, and we're unwise, then what happens is we could become and go to places and do things that we had never planned to do before. You guys, people who get deceived, they never plan on it. People who are distracted, they don't set out one morning and say, hey, I think I'm going to get distracted today. I think I'm going to set out to get deceived today. It never works that way. It's subtle. The devil has these devices that he wants to put in our way and a plan to try to defeat us. And if we're not careful, what will happen is we'll succumb to it. We'll fall right into it. So what he's talking about here, he's talking about it's skill for living. It's not just the mere absence of information, which, by the way, we have more information now than ever before. We are not information starved. We're not starved for information. Matter of fact, information doubles every so many years, and it is being expedited now like more than ever before. You know what we need? We need application. we really don't need even more knowledge of the Scripture as much as we need to apply what we know. Really. And the idea here is that what can happen is we can be lulled into this uncareful attitude of how we live life. So what he's talking about, what he's saying to us, is rather this describes moral and willful deficit that ignores the fear of God, which, by the way, is the beginning of wisdom. The Bible says the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom, found in Proverbs 1:7. So the foolish and the wise are contrasted all over in the Scripture, especially in the book of Proverbs. How to live practically, how to live insightfully, how to live with common sense, which common sense is not common today. Would you agree with that? I remember when I was 17, I was given a prophetic word from James chapter 1, verse 5, that if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, and God will give it to him liberally. And so nearly every day of my life, for all those years, I prayed that God would give me wisdom. And here's why I prayed that. Because I knew that what he was calling me to do, that I wouldn't be able to do it in myself. And I was going to need help. And listen, we are not smart enough or skilled enough or have enough experience to do what God wants us to do and to get through this life in the best and most manageable way possible. We need supernatural help. And if we think that we can do it on our own without wisdom, common sense, understanding, knowledge, and insight, then we're mistaken. We need help from the Lord to guide us and direct us in those ways. And he'll give it to us if we ask him. That's the good thing about it. Listen, you may have been born a fool, but you don't have to stay a fool. We can ask God to help us with wisdom, and he'll do it. So being careful and unwise and thoughtful and to understand what he wants us to do has to do with more than what this says about just being drunk with wine, but it has to do with God directing the path of our lives. So when I was a sophomore in Bible college, I had a dream one night, and the dream was that I was going to speak at this large venue, and I wasn't prepared. Like, I didn't have a sermon. They asked me to speak at the last minute, and I was like, Lord, I don't know what I'm going to say. And in my dream, the Lord told me, the Lord said, you're going to speak on holiness. Well, I didn't know what that meant. So I asked the Lord, what is holiness? And this is the definition that the Lord gave me. He said, holiness is wanting to grow so close to me and be so near me that you'll put everything else aside and it will be secondary in your life. And so that was what I was supposed to preach on. Well, so years later, what I discovered was that that very place that I dreamed about, that was the church that I would eventually pastor. The very place. It was a gym. We had a wood floor, wood stage, and that would be the church later that I would pastor. And the Lord said, that's what I want you to preach on. But I didn't know what it meant, because holiness or being holy is kind of a woo, you know, type word. You know, it's one of those spiritual words that you think, well, there's no way I can attain it, so I'm not even gonna go there. But God tells us to be holy. Because he's holy. He wants us to be like him. And by the way, he never tells us to be perfect. He tells us to be holy. And there's a difference. You see, without holiness, we can't see God. And I want to be like that, because I want to grow as close as I can to the Lord. And so one of the ways to depart from that is to what verse, if you'll look at it with me real quick, verse 18 says, don't be drunk with wine. So when this was written, that would have been the primary drug of choice, I guess, wine. But here's what I want to talk about. This could fit any mind-altering substance or behavior that takes away from Jesus and him being first in our lives. So this could be any type of drug. I don't think I'm departing from the original context. I'll tell you the context here in a minute. But what he's saying is this: don't be distracted and don't let your life be filled with wine, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. And really what it's saying is this, it's like saturated. It's like a sponge when you try to soak up something that's some sort of liquid, and the sponge isn't big enough to get all of it, and it's saturated, and you pick it up, and there's still liquid left over. That's what he's talking about in both instances. Don't be drunk with wine, in which is excess, or dissipation, or wickedness, or crazy living, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, I didn't realize this till last night. I forgot about it, but did you guys know that this is dry January? Yeah, do you know that? So this fits right in with what I'm talking about. It's dry January. Remember No Shave November? Okay, well, this is dry January. So anybody who, you know, drinks or whatever, this is the time where you're supposed to take a little hiatus from that, a break, so that you can regroup or refocus or whatever. Why do people do these sort of things? Well, I had to look at my own life and think, why do people get drunk or use drugs or do other mind-altering things or things that will seemingly take the place of God in our lives? Number one was this. I did it because I wanted to have fun. I did it because I wanted to be liked and accepted. I did it because I needed to relax and try to, not have anxiety dominate my life. Also, to escape from my past, from the pain that I had growing up or whatever. You know, people do that. They'll try to disconnect and do that. Also, heredity. In my family, come from a long line of alcoholics and drug abusers, so it was pretty natural for me just to fall into it as well. Some people do these things because physically, if they try to quit or whatever, they can't physically because they have withdrawals, you know? And how many of us know that many times being hungover or drunk or whatever, you just get up and start again? That's called the hair of the dog that bit you. You know, that's what you do. You just get right back into it, man. Mom never raised a quitter, so you just get in there and just make it happen. But the thing is this, that what ends up happening is you're never any better because of it. And you never really escape. And you never really come through the things that God wants you to come through, because this is a falsity. It's not real. It doesn't really do what it promises it will do. And the consequences and the payoff is always greater than what it promises to fulfill. All right, so here's the thing. I thought about this. I thought, Lord, do your people really need to hear this? And then I realized, did you know that he was writing to Christians? So they needed to hear it, didn't they? Do you think we need to hear it? And I thought about it. I wonder how many people in this room, even here listening online or whatever, are struggling with things that they have dealt with for a long time and they haven't been able to get free from. And it's like verse 14 says, let the light of God's word come on in your life. Let your life be resurrected into who God's called you to be. You see, even as a believer, we struggle with things that the rest of the world struggles with as well. There's not really much difference except that you've asked Jesus in your life, but church people struggle with the same things that people in the world struggle with. And the reason they continue to struggle with it is because we don't want to admit it because of shame and of guilt. And so what do we want to do? The devil wants to keep us in the dark. And because when you, listen, decide today you're not going to live in the shadows. Half of the battle is it being exposed. Because when it's exposed, it takes the bite out of the devil. The devil wants to keep you in the shadows. He wants to keep you hidden in the darkness. But when it's exposed to the light, you know, the redemption and the freedom will come. So I always wanted to try to quit. In my life, my particular drug of choice was alcohol, and then, you know, speed in those days. But really, I couldn't find the strength to do it on my own. And even I thought I was pretty cool when I went back to drug treatment drunk, and I could just smile right at them and go in there, you know, drunk from a home visit. you know, and come back and be drunk and think that I was all that because I had tricked and I had fooled them. But you know, who was I fooling? What was I doing? You see, here's the thing, you guys. These kind of things lead to all kinds of other things. And they have a devastating effect on our lives, personally, but also in families. These type of things destroy families. These type of things can rot away a nation and neighborhoods and countries. And I'm not just talking about drugs and alcohol. I'm talking about pornography. I'm talking about overeating, gambling, all these things. Even people get into video games and are consumed by and stay up all night and play. I'm talking about things that keep us and our attention held bondage from God's best in our lives. That's what I'm talking about. And if we're not careful with these things, we'll succumb to them and we'll be distracted and we'll be deceived in these evil days that we're living in. Listen, I don't know about you, but I need all my brain cells. I need all of them. Like, I don't need to get rid of any of them. I need to keep every one of them. And I think what the devil wants to do, he wants to keep everybody medicated so that we would be easily controlled. If you're walking around high and stoned all the time, and so-and-so tells you to do this or do that, you just go right along with it. That's how the Antichrist is going to come to power. He will be able to manipulate people into doing what he wants them to do. But the church of Jesus Christ will shine in those days. And that's me and you. But we got to be careful. We got to be diligent. This thing just doesn't fall together, you guys. You got to know what's up. You got to pay attention to what God wants you to do and know. So, did you know that 60% of people that are incarcerated have drug and alcohol problems? 60% of people that are incarcerated. Do you know that a lot of mental illness, it's a vicious circle that people with mental illness will try to medicate themselves through drugs and alcohol or whatever else, whatever other type of illicit behavior to try to soothe and ease their pain. And it's just a vicious circle because they never get any better. You don't ever get any better in that way. So he's saying this. He's saying that don't be drunk with wine because it will ruin your life. Some versions say dissipation. Some say evil or debauchery or reckless indiscretion or wickedness or corruption or stupidity. Those things will all ruin your life because it has to do with excess. And this is what Renner says. He says it means one that has lost his ability to save or to spare himself. This is a person who wastes his life squandering his money or degrades his body because he is drunk and cannot think straight. These people act and think irrationally and irresponsibly, and as a result, they do things in excess that they normally wouldn't do. In the New Testament days, people were in this part of the world in Ephesus, and I'm not going to talk a lot about it, but you can do some research on it. In Ephesus, there were thousands of idols and statues in the city. And one of the types of religions that they did was they would get drunk to excess and they would do all kinds of crazy stuff, orgies and all kinds of, it was the worship of Diana of the Ephesians, and it went into all sorts of different types of perversion and all, but it was all centered around false worship. And I think that we're in danger of that today. Now, we would never willfully lay our lives down before a god or an idol. But how many idols have set up camp in our hearts? Huh? How many idols have we let in that we haven't even thought of, we haven't even really been mindful of, but they have a prominent place in our hearts. They have a prominent place in our lives. I'm not going to talk a lot about this, but you can do some research on it because it's no drink January. Dr. Mark Hyman, he's the chief medical officer of Function Health. He did a whole study on it and what it does, just taking a break for a month and what it does to your body and your emotional state and your mind. And that's just 1 month that you can sort of reset and regroup so that you can live the rest of your year in a fruitful way. But how much more so, it says, it goes on to say in the article, that even a year, if you took a year off and a year break, it can do wonders in your life, physically, emotionally, mentally, and how about spiritually as well? So could be, again, any type of debilitating or checkout or habit that takes the place of Jesus in your life. Remember what we said about holiness? Remember what it was? That we'll do anything it takes to make Jesus first in our lives. Everything else is secondary, and He is number one. You see, some of these things have become number one in our lives, and they need to be told and be made to take their proper spot and their pecking order in our lives. You see, for some of us, they play too prominent of a role in how we live. And unless we understand it and recognize it, we're going to be deceived, and we're going to be tricked, and we're going to be distracted. But not people here at Emmanuel. That's for those other guys down the street. So the reason I'm preaching this is so you can tell those people in the other churches. Because you guys never deal with this kind of stuff. So, all right. Wow, he's being sarcastic again. Luke 21, listen to what Jesus said. Watch out, don't let your hearts be dulled by carousing and drunkenness and by the worries of life. You know, think about this for a minute. When Jesus said that, notice there's three things: carousing, drunkenness, and worries. How many of you know that drunkenness and carousing always promises that you'll have no worries? It always makes that promise. Like, well, if we do this, my worries will just subside and everything will just wash away. Until when? Until you wake up, until you sober up, until you turn off the video game, until you quit looking at porn. You know, that's the promise. The promise is that it'll fulfill something that's missing in your life. And it always comes up short, you guys. It never can deliver on the promise. It's a falsity. It's a lie. And if we don't see it for what it is, we'll succumb to it. Jesus says, don't let that day catch you unaware. What's he talking about? He's talking about his return. Now, I love it. The next verse, at the very first part of it, verse 35 says, like a trap. It's like a trap. You see, the devil wants to trap you. He wants to get a hold of you. He wants to distract you and deceive you into the things that he wants you to. If he can't send you to hell, that's the next best thing. So let's be careful of that. Romans 13:13, because we belong to the day, we must live decent lives for all to see. Don't participate in the darkness of wild parties and drunkenness or sexual promiscuity or immoral living or in quarreling and jealousy. Instead, clothe yourself with the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ and don't let yourself think about ways to indulge your evil desires. I'm not going to spend, just say one thing real quick. How much more sexually do we need to be messed up? I mean, let's get real, you guys. I mean, it promises all this stuff and it delivers little and it destroys people. It destroys people. It destroys families. And it all goes together. 1 Thessalonians 5:8, but let us who live in the light be clear-headed, protected by the armor of faith and love, and wearing as a helmet the confidence of our salvation. Do you ever wonder why it's the helmet of salvation? Because our minds are where the battle is. And we need the covering of the blood of Jesus over our minds. I believe that's why it's called the helmet of salvation. Proverbs 23, who has anguish, sorrow, fighting, complaining, unnecessary bruises, bloodshot eyes? It's the one who spends long hours in the taverns trying out new drinks. Listen to this. This is from A.W. Tozer. And when I read the quote, I thought, this is pretty good. But he lived a long time ago. I was thinking, well, how long ago was this? This is what he said in 1966. So this was 60 years ago. You ready for this? Listen to what he said 60 years ago. And if excessive indulgence and drunkenness and worldly cares tend to unfit, or not make the Christian ready for the second coming, then this generation of Christians should be the least prepared for the event. That was 60 years ago. So what he's saying is that if drunkenness and worldly cares, if that was indicative of that generation, then that generation is the least prepared for Jesus to return. Okay, now that was 60 years. What would he say today? What would he? I thank God he's not alive. Because of what he would see today would just undo him. Because this is what he saw 60 years ago. So let me give you two more verses, and then we'll bring it to a conclusion. Related verses. Galatians 5 says this, 21, envy, drunkenness, and wild parties. See that? Sins like this. Beforehand, I tell you that those people who live that sort of life won't inherit the kingdom of God. Are you saying, Pastor, that those people who do those things won't go to heaven? I don't know. What do you think? Do you want to take your chances? So, well, Pastor, what? I don't know. I know what it says. I know I don't want to take my chances. So wouldn't it be better to just do it God's way? Instead of thinking, well, you know, God knows my heart or he's merciful and all that. Well, what's that say? All right. You know what's interesting about that? If you read Galatians 5 and you read that and your Bibles are open, go on down and what comes next? You know what comes next? The fruit of the Spirit. Interesting. So we have this way to live and then we have God's way to live. And God's way to live is love, joy, peace, kindness, long-suffering, patience, you know, wholeness, those fruits of the Spirit that want to dominate our lives, control our lives. Here's the thing, we can't do it without the Spirit's help. We got to have the Holy Spirit, you guys, these days that we're living in. Matter of fact, I wouldn't make it without the Holy Spirit. I would have never made it without the baptism of the Holy Spirit, never. And we'll talk about that more next week. I'll tell you what happened to me next week. And I, by the way, I never would have made it as a Christian without the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And I definitely would have never made it as a pastor and a preacher without the baptism of the Holy Spirit. No way. No way. I'll go on record to say it. I wouldn't have made it because I couldn't have done it in myself. Okay? Second one is this. 2 Timothy 3:4, lovers of pleasure rather than God. Lovers of pleasure rather than God. They love pleasure. All right. So here's what Renner says about that. He says, these are the characteristics of people in the last days. They'll be obsessed with pleasure, partying, eating, entertainment, fun, anything to alleviate boredom. He goes on to say that life will become so soft and luxurious that people will overeat, be lazy, take unwarranted time off, exist on borrowed money, and permit unquestionable immoral behavior, all the while thinking that it is a normal, acceptable way to live. Are we there? Are we there? Yeah. And it all has to do with boredom. There are people that cannot stand the idea of being bored. When I was a kid, you know, life was kind of boring compared to now. I didn't think so at the time, but I wanted to have fun. And I'd say, well, it's boring. And my mom would say this. She would say, well, go make your own fun. You know, what does that even mean? Go make your own fun. What she meant was get out of the house and go find something to do. And so for us, it was like throwing dirt clods at one another, or, you know, getting your ankle caught in the spokes of your tires on your bicycle and things like that. So one time I found an entrance to underneath our house. I grew up right down the street here. House is gone now. It was old house. And I crawled under there with a candle. You know, I was going to make a little fort under our house. And then when my mom found out, she came unglued. She goes, you're going to light the house on fire. You're going to burn the house down. And I was like, Mom, I'm just trying to make my own fun. No, I didn't say that. So I probably would have got my mouth slapped. But anyway, here's the thing, you guys. Too many of us want to be Christians, and we don't heed the call to leave it all behind. Your people, your father's house. We all want the blessing and the comforts of the Christian life, without giving up associations, friendships, the gains, and the enjoyments of this world. And perhaps it is a lack of sacrifice which is the greatest impediment to the church in these days that we live. It does not have the power on high because it does not give up the present world that we're living in. It's true. It's true. So here's where I want to conclude. I heard this or read this week it was a reel on Harvest Ministries. And this is what it said. It said, die to self, die to ego, die to what you think you deserve, die to the fear that holds you back, die to materialism, die to greed, die to worldly accolades, die to the addiction of seeking attention and validation, die to fleshly lusts and addictions, die to the desire to always be understood and accepted, die to false expectations, die to worldly reputation, die to vanity and pride, die to self, and live for Christ. How many of you want to live for Christ? Yeah, let's stand together. Help us, Lord. How do you get free? How do you get free? Like I said earlier, you expose it. If you're struggling with something and you're dealing with something, the worst thing you can do is to keep it a secret. As long as it's a secret, you'll never get free. You'll never get free as long as it's a secret. Why would you? Expose it. Tell someone. Have somebody pray for you. Confess it. Ask the Lord to forgive you. Ask God to deliver you supernaturally. You guys, these things will not go easy. They won't go easy. They've set up residence and they love it. And they're not going to go unless you make it hard for them to stay. You know how you make it hard for them to stay? You get as close to Jesus as you can. And you let the Lord fill you with His Holy Spirit, with His presence. And pretty soon you'll realize that you're free and that those things, they don't even belong anymore. They don't even make sense anymore because you're so close to God. How many of you want to be like that? Yeah, I do too. Father, help us. Lord, help us to be like that. Lord, we are living in these uncertain, crazy, stressful days of wickedness. But Lord, Your church is going to shine. And Lord, we're to be a bride that's adorned for You, Jesus, for the bridegroom as He comes back. And so, Lord, I pray today, Lord Jesus, for the groom that comes back. Lord, I pray that we would be spotless, Lord, that we would, the judgment would begin first in the house of the Lord, and that we would be clean and holy before Your sight, Lord Jesus, that we wouldn't play games anymore with the world, that we would leave the world behind. Help us, God. Help us, Lord. I want to tell you, I want to confess something to you guys. Preachers have made it too easy. And I've been one of them. It's too easy. It's never meant to be that way. This is hard. Never kid yourself and deceive yourself of this not being a challenge. It's going to cost you. You know what it'll cost you? Everything. Everything. It'll cost you your life. But you know what you'll gain? You'll gain eternal life. And you'll gain the abundant life, which is much better. How many of you want that today? I do. I do. Lord, help us today. Lord, these are serious days. Help us to be Spirit-filled people. We love You in Jesus' name. Is there anybody that's never been born again and you want to give Jesus your life? You've never done that? You've never confessed your sins publicly as far as saying, Lord, I need Your help and I don't want to live that way anymore. I want to go forward with You. Never done it before publicly. Today you want to be born again. Is there anybody like that here? Okay. Well, it's been a pleasure being with you here today. I'm going to stick around over here and pray for any of you that need prayer today. It's been a pleasure being with you. God bless you. Have a great week and Happy New Year.